So when people are unwell, they just want to get better. They don't want labels, they don't want long questionnaires, they don't want to talk to many, many people.
Welcome to Tech Talks, the podcast brought to you by Nash Squared and hosted by myself, David Savage, that's been bringing you the latest thinking from technology leaders for over 8 years. This week's show is slightly shorter than normal. I am currently in Paris at the second Global Women in Tech Summit. The reason that I'm here, I was moderating the stage yesterday as well as emceeing alongside the rather wonderful Caroline Codzi, who is someone who's been on this podcast before, as has Women in Tech founder Ayumi Aoki. Hopefully, in coming weeks, I'll be bringing you plenty of insight from this particular conference because there's been a whole range of talks from truly inspiring women on a whole bunch of different subjects, whether that's AI or social or the state of entrepreneurship and investment in female businesses. But the one thing that I'm always struck by when I'm at a conference like this, if I think about the associations that we've had with We Are the City as well as Women in Tech over the years, it's still incredibly rare for me, a white, middle-class, grey-haired male, to be in an environment where I'm in the minority. I can probably still count the number of times I've really felt in the minority on my hands. And that's a shame, because it shouldn't be the case. It shouldn't be the case that literally you're talking about 10 times in my life where I've looked around a room and realised that everyone else doesn't look like me. So I think it's really important to come to conferences like this, to support them and to tell you about what's being said at them. And also, I know it's overused, it's a cliche, but you know, there's so much energy at this event. There really is. There feels like there's an energy and an urgency here that's worth talking about because people want to see change. And according to the latest research by the World Economic Forum, it's going to take 300 years before we see gender parity across the technology industry. Now, that's not the same numbers that we're reporting here at Nash Squared. Our digital leadership report last year thought it would take 50 years. But between 50 years and 300 years is a very big range, and even 50 years is 50 years too long. So we need to do something to help accelerate that process. Anyway, today's show is not about that. Today's show is about the automation of mental health. However, we do have a fantastic female leader, Madana Admani, PhD, who is CEO and co-founder of Alena. She's a scientist by background, computational neuroscience, so someone, well, who frankly has a lot more to say about the world than I do. I'll hand you over to the interview. I hope you enjoy. And we'll be back with a slightly fuller show on Thursday. Today, I'm joined by Mani Amari, the CEO and co-founder of Alena. Thanks for giving up some time today.
Thank you so much for having me, Dave.
Where are you joining me from?
From London, Victoria.
Ah, sunny London. Well, I assume it's sunny. It's sunny in Kent, so I'm assuming it's sunny in London.
Well, we take any ray of light that shines through the clouds. So yes, by that definition, it is sunny.
There speaks someone who was not born in this country, definitely, and might have a gripe with the weather in the UK. No, how are you today anyway?
I'm very well, thank you very much.
Good, good. Look, let's start by talking about Alena. And it would be great for you just to describe what your business does in a few words so we can set some context around the rest of the conversation.
Absolutely. So I'm a scientist by training. I did my education in computational neuroscience and machine learning. And that's the kind of science that we are bringing into Alena to automate the entire care pathway for mental health conditions. So when people are unwell, they just want to get better. They don't want labels. They don't want long questionnaires, they don't want to talk to many, many people and then hop from one treatment to another, hoping one thing would work for them. So this is known as precision psychiatry in mental health. It's currently done by humans. Humans are the only ones who can decide what treatment might work for a person and keep an eye on that. But at Alena, we are automating it using computational psychiatry.
And what, when you say you're using technology and automating it, how does that present then to the patient?
So we are trying to create these digital environments where people come in and play games. And those games, they just need to play game as they would if they were playing it with friends and family. And those are designed to measure specific cognitive processes that give rise to our emotions, to our beliefs, our behaviors. And on the back end, we are able to assess the health of that cognitive process based on the behavior of the person in the games. And then at the end of the game, we let the person see their result, their performance, and we explain it to them. What does it mean for you? What does it mean in your life? And how do you come across compared to other people? So, and we tell them, no matter what your cognitive process is, it is good in certain situations and it's not good in some other situations. There is no perfect way of being. It's having that understanding of why am I the way I am and where is it helpful and where should I be more careful about it. And then that is followed by a precision treatment. Currently, it is cognitive behavioral therapy that we are delivering inside the app. It's fully automated. Nowhere in the process you will see a human. And it specifically targets that cognitive process. And it tries to rewire the brain in such a way to bring that cognitive process a little bit closer to what is expected of all of us, which sometimes then it drifts back again. And then you need to again do these exercises and come back to the middle. Should you wish.
It is perhaps a really dumb question, but there's obviously stigma around mental health and the need for people to walk together on this and to understand each other and to give each other patience is one of those barriers that we're always talking about knocking down. In the same way that we routinely go for a health checkup with our doctor, what's your audience here? Could we not routinely play these games and just have a mental health checkup and normalize it rather than, because I suppose most people wouldn't go and seek out a service like this unless someone said you have a mental health problem. And part of the barrier is getting people to understand that they might, or recognize that they might have a problem, right?
Absolutely. And I think this is actually a very, very critical point that you're making. It is important for us to accept mental health to be sitting on the same spectrum in some corner of physical health. Our brain is also an organ. It's this mushy thing up there. It's not some ethereal spiritual thing. So it is important for us to accept it, that it does have some physical bearing, our mental health problems. And your analogy to physical health is quite important. The way I look at it is how in the olden times when people would hear cancer, everybody would freak out and usually people would hide it because it meant people judging them. But nowadays we understand cancer is a spectrum, and sometimes if you catch it very early on, you get well. There are treatments out there that makes you better, and more, we are saving lives with people talking about these things. We need to talk about mental health the same way. The stigma exists because in the olden times, only when mental illness had reached a place where it was very obviously dysfunctional that people would accept it as being a problem. But we shouldn't. We should look at it as a spectrum and think it's not a binary thing. We are not well and then suddenly unwell. It takes quite a long time usually to get to that point. And if you're there to help each other and talk about it and being okay without making assumptions about a person, we will have less of these severe cases happening.
Now, jumping off what you're saying there, what I understand about Alina is that you're focusing on social anxiety. And that is one of those jumping off points, I suppose, for worsening conditions, perhaps for depression, substance abuse, eating disorders. How is this all interrelated, and how are you trying to tackle social anxiety and why?
We chose social anxiety as very first product that Alina puts out. We are going to move on to other conditions as well. But when we were thinking, because the framework of computational psychiatry is agnostic to the condition or treatment, we chose social anxiety. I call it mother of all evil. It is a condition that is very, very widespread. at least 12% of population suffers from it in clinical sense, and that excludes people who are suffering but haven't reached out to be diagnosed. And because it is low risk to life, people sort of just live with it and mask it and bear with it. And then it pops out in other forms. People have burnouts. Usually that's a signature of social anxiety that has been left untreated. People have substance abuse. They drink or they smoke to soothe that anxiety. Or they fall into depression because the promotion they were hoping for and they had worked so hard for, or the person they were hoping to get together with, or the way they handle the well-being of their children, the social well-being of their children. They feel overwhelmed with that, and then they fall into depression. Sometimes it comes up as eating disorders. So it gives rise to a lot of other challenges that are known to people as being serious, but mostly it's roots in social anxiety. And we are after the actual root of things. That's the scientific approach to life. And that's why we chose social anxiety.
Now, you use technology and science to try and help in these instances. Some people might say that technology is at the root cause of social anxiety being on the rise because we're social animals and yet here we are working in remote environments. Is that fair, and how can technology help?
I believe it is a fair assessment. Technology has definitely accelerated mental unwellness, but it is something that is happening, whether we like it or not. And the reason it's contributing to mental unwellness is it is changing our environment at a rapid pace that from an evolutionary perspective, we cannot catch up. Like within a year, our environment changes. If you think about human evolution or in general, natural evolution, that happens over thousands of years for us to adapt to the environment around us. Now, because the environment around us is changing at such a rapid pace, and we cannot adapt to it at that speed, it shows itself in the form of anxiety and social anxiety, because anxiety is a signal to uncertainty. My environment, my life has changed. I don't know how to deal with it. So in that way, it is contributing to mental unwellness. But instead of forcing it out of our life because of the convenience and the comfort it brings, we should fold it back more in as a tool to accelerate adaption that people can have towards their environment, such as Alina. Alina is a tool. It can help us measure our cognitive function and measure how we are fitting with the environment around us and give us the toolkit to deal with the environment around us at the same rate and pace as it is changing. So artificially, it is augmenting us to evolve with this fast evolving environment. And that is like riding the tide, and then we can enjoy it fully. So to me, technology is a tool. It's not the solution. It's a tool to make our life comfortable. And at the same, in the same spirit, we can use it to be able to capture and utilize and make best use of that speed of comfort.
Manny, it's been a pleasure to speak to you this morning. I had genuinely no idea that social anxiety affected quite as many as that. So obviously, hugely relevant. It means that most of us are working with people who are suffering. So we should be aware of these issues and as understanding as we can. If we were able to point someone in the direction of Alina, how would we do that?
Best way is to reach us either on App Store or Google Play Store. If you search Alina for social anxiety, then you can see our blue logo where it says Alina, and you can download us. Or you can find more information on our website, www.alina.com.
Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you for having me, Dave. It was a pleasure.